Happy Sabbath, everyone. Great to be here today. So we're still in the depths of winter now. Bitter cold period of time is coming thanks to the polar vortex. But spring is around the corner, and along with spring, the holy day season, a holy day that we're all looking forward to. But the world has its own holy day that they're planning on celebrating. So somehow we're the odd ones out. Somehow we're a small minority celebrating the day that we're celebrating. So we're looking forward to the Passover, which is on this date, on Nisan 14. Probably you don't know the date of Easter, not the date on the calendar this year, but how you calculate it. It's actually this, the Sunday following the first full moon on or after the spring equinox. It's a really complicated formula, and it's actually designed on purpose so that it has nothing to do with the Passover. So how did we get here? Because Nisan 14, I can find in the Bible, right? But the Sunday following the equinox, moon, everything, I can't find that in the Bible. Likewise, this, I can find in the Bible. This, I can't find that in the Bible. This also, I can find in the Bible. The past, the foot washing, that I cannot find in the Bible. That's a sunrise service where they worship as the sun comes up, like some have been doing far before the time of Christ, which is a different subject. That's not where I'm going today. So the question is, how did we get where we are? How is it that we're practically the only ones keeping this day that we do find in the Bible, and yet everybody else has moved on, it would appear? Why are we the odd ones out? Well, the change occurred very gradually over a period of 100 years, and you could group it into three stages, like three easy steps toward apostasy. So the first step is the foundation. We had the time of the early New Testament church, and they were mostly Jews. The church spread and expanded. Many Gentiles were brought into the church, and they were called. But it was a time when the Jews started to be persecuted, right? There were those who wanted to revolt against Rome, and Rome was pushing back. And so there was persecution of the Jews. And also among the Gentile Christians, there came to be a belief that, well, the Jews are inferior because they're the ones who crucified Christ, right? So they bear this guilt that they had. And so a lot of people wanted to stop being like the Jews. They wanted to worship God, and they still believed that Jesus was the Messiah, but they didn't want to be like those Jews were. They didn't want to be persecuted, and they didn't want to have anything to do with the ones who they said killed Christ. Some started keeping Sunday, but they still kept Passover on the right day. So then we go forward in time, and things progress. And I'll read something from an article. And before you read the article, you need to know the word Pascha, which is Greek. It just means Passover. It comes from the Hebrew word Pesach, which also means Passover. Some people will translate it Easter depending on what their beliefs are or what their agenda is, but that's what the word is. A dispute arose concerning the date on which Pascha should be celebrated. The dispute came to be known as the Quaterdeciman controversy. Quaterdeciman is Latin for 14 and refers to celebrating Pascha on the 14th of Nisan on the Hebrew calendar. The dispute involved the date on which Pascha should be celebrated. Polycarp of Smyrna, a disciple of John the Apostle, disputed the date with Bishop Anicetus of Rome. The practice in Asia Minor at the time was to keep it on the 14th of Nisan, strictly in accordance with the Old Testament's Hebrew calendar. The Roman practice was to wait until the Sunday following, The objection to the 14th of Nisan was that it could fall on any day of the week, and the Roman Church, in other words, the Catholic Church, wanted to associate it with Sunday and sever the link to Jewish practices. Shortly after Anicetus became bishop of Rome in about 155 AD, Polycarp visited him and discussed the divergence of custom. Neither of them could convince the other, so they parted in peace, leaving the question unsettled. So that was some of the basis. That was the beginning of the change. They still used Passover to know about when to keep it. They waited for Passover, then they waited for the Sunday afterward. And it was an amicable thing. Some people were doing it one way. Some people were doing it one way, the other way. Nobody was killing each other. They just agreed to disagree, and they went on their separate ways. Now, I'm actually a little envious of the people in the New Testament times, because we have the Bible and we know what we know because of what's been written in the Bible. But I wonder, you know, what would it be like to actually be there at the time of Christ and to hear his messages and see for myself these miracles? You know, there would have been no question of which way to go, which way to believe, and is he the Messiah? Because I would be right there as an eyewitness, right? And I'm not an eyewitness. I have the Bible, which is good, but I'm a little jealous of them, right? They didn't have the whole Bible that they could read like we do, but they had something that we kind of don't. But we still have that to a certain degree, because we have some accounts, even not from the Bible, of some eyewitnesses who were there, and the knowledge was passed down, right? Jesus was the teacher, the ultimate teacher, and he passed the knowledge of his way and of Passover to his disciples, his students. Those students then became the teachers, the disciples became the apostles, and they went out and taught. And those teachers then also had students. So you have John, this is an artist picture of John. He was a student and then he was a teacher. And then you had Polycarp, whom we read about, and Polycarp was a disciple of John. He learned what he learned from John, and so we read that he wasn't just going by whatever, he was going by what his teacher told him, and his teacher was taught directly by Jesus Christ. So an eyewitness account, or a direct account, was passed down, and he wasn't the first generation of it, but he was taught by somebody who was taught by Jesus Christ. So he was in a special situation, and we have historians who have preserved that in this controversy, the reason that he stayed with the date that he stayed with was because of that eyewitness, that firsthand, really secondhand, passed down that knowledge. So fast forward in time a generation later, because this wasn't all settled with that, right? They agreed to disagree, they went different ways. Another encounter happened, and that was not so civil. So I'll continue the article about Polycrates now. Polycrates, in AD 90, emphatically notes that this is the tradition passed down from him, that Passover and unleavened bread were to be kept on the 14th of Nisan. As for us, he writes, we scrupulously observe the exact day, neither adding nor taking away from it. Kind of reminds you of what John wrote in Revelation, right? Don't add anything to this book. Don't take anything away from this book. For in Asia, great luminaries all kept Pascha on the 14th day in accordance of the gospel. So here's Polycrates of Ephesus. He's the one who had the battle. And he argued that before this man here, who was Victor, the bishop of Rome. And basically the bishop of Rome, that means you're the pope. The one who was in control of the Roman church became the pope. And so Bishop Victor of Rome excommunicated Polycrates and all the rest of the bishops of Asia Minor who observed the 14th of Nisan. So now they're putting each other out of the church, and there was some persecution of people who were excommunicated. So that was the second step, that the correct, the biblical date was pushed out, and they replaced it with the Sunday after the Passover. But even that was too Jewish for some people, because you're still using the date of Passover in order to celebrate your other day. And you don't want to do, you don't want to do anything Jewish to get to Easter. So they further decoupled the day. And that happened around this time. This is the Council of Nicaea, and that was in 325. So we're fast forwarding again about 130 years later. So Constantine was a pagan. He worshiped the sun, right, on the day of the sun. But he then had a conversion, and he claimed that he was now a Christian. And he had his beliefs. He had some agendas. And so continuing in this article, it says, Constantine supported the separation of the date of Easter from the Jewish Passover. So he doesn't want him even having anything to do, even in the calculation of the dates. He stated in his letter after the First Council of Nicaea, he says, "It appears an unworthy thing that in the celebration of this most holy feast, which is Easter, we should follow the practice of the Jews, who have impiously defiled their hands with enormous sin, and are therefore deservedly afflicted with blindness of soul. Let us then have nothing in common with the detestable Jewish crowd." So that is how we got the date of Easter that we have today. It was moved as far from it's far from the original day, the biblical day, the Jewish day, as it can get. So he settled the matter by bringing those bishops together and having them vote the way that he preferred. So now one of the holiest days on the traditional Christian calendar is set by a pagan sun-worshipping emperor who took over the leadership of the Christian religion. So what can we learn from this? One thing, what lesson can we learn? One is that only God can make time holy. Only God can make time holy. Daniel 2 verse 20 says, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever." Verse 21, "He changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings." He can set the times. He can set the seasons, the holy days. We don't have the prerogative to say, well, we want to worship God and we're just going to choose whatever days we feel like it for whatever reasons we have, right? We worship on the days that he designates as being holy. Next lesson that we can learn is beware of slow changes away from the truth, even if they take 300 years. Acts 20, verse 29 says, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." Right? There, we know that there would be influences coming in who want to change things from what the Bible says to some other thing that somebody has an agenda to implement. We were warned about that. Doesn't always happen overnight. It can be a slow slide. And many of us who have lived through a slow slide where things didn't change overnight, but seemingly, suddenly here we were finding ourselves doing something or others around us doing something that is totally not what we learned from the Bible. Final lesson number 3 is be thankful for the truth that God has given you. Be thankful for the truth God has given you. Why would anybody keep Easter after knowing this? Right? We haven't even talked about the origins of Easter, how it goes back before Christian times, and how it, you know, the goddess that it was created to worship, or how the 3 days and three nights doesn't work with that, right? Those are all good points, and that's a sermonette or sermon for someone else on another time, right? There are so many ways we can look at this and so many reasons why we do what we do and why we don't do what we don't. But why would people do this if they know all these things? Well, not everybody's minds are opened. They will be opened at some point. They're going to have their aha moment where they look and they say, you know, I've been sitting in this church and looking at the Bible, and yet I've been doing all these other things that that it doesn't say to do. They'll have their moment. But our moment is now. So this is a cold time, still February, but we're all looking forward to spring. And when we do that, let's look beyond the man-made day, right, the substitute day that's there to just to, because people don't like the Jews or whatever reason they had. Let's look beyond that substitute day and look to the biblical days. Let's look to the days with meaning, the days that explain God's plan of salvation, and the days that were given to us by God.